forth. They're part of the tulips, right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Tulips, that's what Rondé called them when he was prophesying to Scotty. He said, I see them like a field of tulips. He said, and you are just running through the field rejoicing. And we do, amen. We thank the Lord for them. All right. Title this morning is Live to Give, Part 3. Beth, if you'd put up, what is that? John 17. We're going to read, or I'm going to read these quickly off of the screen because we've already been over these twice. But we need to get them down on the inside. And we know that Jesus was praying a prayer here, and he says, neither for these alone do I pray, it is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. We know that would be us today, right? He was talking to his disciples. He says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, in order that they may become one and be perfectly united. That's Ephesians 4, right? He says that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, we got to believe that, right? And that's a little hard for me to believe sometimes. I told y'all last week that for years and years and years I walked in such condemnation because of, I know me. Plus the devil helps you out with that and all of that. You know. But once you begin to get God's love on the inside of you of how much he loves you, because condemnation is actually rooted in fear. And when the Bible says whenever we get love maturing and being perfected on the inside of us, it begins to cast out all fear, right? What's our next one? John 13, verse 26. What note, or was that 26? He says, I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me. Now notice that. This is his words, and he says, God or Father, the same love that you have loved me with, right? He says, and revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. Now the next one is, John 13, 34 through 35, please. This is Jesus talking again. Now we know that it says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's under the law. Jesus had not yet been crucified. That's actually a quote from Leviticus 19. So we're no longer under that, right? We're not under the law of the Old Testament. We're now under the law of the New Testament, which is what? The law of the love of Christ. He says, I give you a new commandment. That's why he calls it a new one. He says that you should love one another. How? Just as I have loved you. That is a mouthful. He says, just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. Now, hang on right here. Let me ask you something. What is a commandment or a command? Think about the army. They give commands, right? What are those? Orders. So what if you don't like it? So you go in there and you see your CO or your sergeant or whatever it is. You know, say you're supposed to clean the latrine, what they call it, the bathroom, the toilet that day. You know, and you really don't care for those orders. And so you go in there and you see the whoever's over you and you say, you know, I'm really just not feeling this order today. I'm really not feeling this command. And they say, oh, baby, well, let me see if I can get that changed for you. Is that what they do? What they say? We didn't ask you how you feel. You go clean it. Right? This is not a suggestion. This is we got to get this on the inside. He's not saying do this if you can. Do this if you feel like it, right? It's an order. Who's the order from? Jesus, the head of the church, right? It's not from mom and daddy. It's not from me, definitely, but it's from the Lord himself. He says, just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. He says, by this, what? That loving one another, shall all men know that you are my disciples. So it's not by anything else. Oh, here we go. We, in the circles that we are in, I'll just call it that, you know, the faith circle, so to speak, or whatever. You know, we've been called all different kinds of things concerning faith. And that's one of the main things that we have been sitting here to teach and to minister is faith, faith in God. And, you know, and we all in here, I believe we use our faith, you know, and stuff like that. But he didn't say, because you got your building built, all men's going to know you're my disciple. Woo! Not because you got your, you rebuked the storm. Bless God, I rebuked it. Hallelujah. That's going to make them know you're his disciple. So y'all, come on now. Let's go. See, it's not. You can try to use your faith in selfishness. And when you do that, it's not going to work right. You may get a little bit of something off of it, but it's not going to be right. You can tithe out of selfishness. God, we're getting really quiet in here. Why do I say that? Because it's all about me. All about me. What you can give me, rebuking the devil off of my stuff, right? But see, the love of God, what is the love of God? It's all about everybody else. It's nothing about me. Right? Ain't that how Jesus loved us? Do you understand? That is the gospel. That he exchanged his life for ours. Had he not been selfless and exchanged that life, me and you would be lost and doomed to hell forever. And what's he say to us? You do the same thing. Now, we may not have to physically die for one another. I mean, right now, or I mean, they are. That is happening over in other places. Syria really is being, the Christians and a lot of others really are being persecuted to death right now over in some of these other countries. But he's not always asking us to necessarily die physically for somebody. What's he talking about? That old life, that selfishness. According to 1 Corinthians 13, there is no selfishness in the love of God. Why? God is love, according to 1 John 4:8. And in God, what? There is no selfishness. The Bible says, for God so loved, he did what? He gave, and he put everything that was supposed to come to me and you on Jesus. And Jesus, because he was selfless, because he loved us with the same love that the Father loved him, what did he do? He laid down his life for us. This is how this thing is supposed to work. God loves us, we love people. That's it. And that's what he says there. He says, by this you loving one another with the same love that I have loved you. He says, by this is how all men's going to know that you are my disciples, right? Right? He says, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. No, I don't want 36. We're not going to go on there. Let's see what is the next one here. I'm trying to recap real quick. Galatians 6:2, please, Beth. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and what? So fulfill the law, or you could say the commandment, or you could say the order, right, of Christ. It's this love that he's talking about. You know, and you might say, well, I don't need to hear this morning. I need finances. I'm telling you how to get it. God is love. Don't God know how to get you finances? See, I don't want to tell you forget about faith, because faith is important. We've got to have it. We're going to use this love of God by faith. But the greatest test of your faith, and the greatest that I could say that you're going to be walking in the faith of God, is when you love unlovable people. When you're using your faith to, I feel like I can't stand you, but I'm going to love you. Why? Love is not a feeling. Why? God's not a feeling. He's real, right? You can sense him, sense his presence, but he's not a feeling. He's a person. Amen? He's a spirit. But the greatest test of your faith is you us walking in the love of God. And it's going to take faith to do that. Now, we have been on a level where we've used our faith to get things, to do things for other people and things like that. But all this is, God said, come up here to another, a higher level. Because the Bible talks about that he wants us to experience, not talk. There's been a lot of talk, 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 talk. Oh, I love you, brother. Oh, I love you, sister. But I got some scripture. He says, let's quit talking and let's do something that hopefully we'll be able to get on to here in just a little bit. But he says, bear ye one another's burdens. What's that mean? What's that mean? Anybody know what that means? That means if I got a problem, now listen to me, don't think I'm saying bypass the Holy Ghost. You never bypass the leading of the Holy Ghost, because I cannot help every one of my brothers in the Lord or sisters in the Lord in this entire world. There's some that it's for you to help. It's not for me to help. But how many knows that all the time that love of God is looking, God, can I do something for them about this? God, am I the one? And listen, and if God tells you you're the one, you may not even have the resources to do it. But y'all remember 1 Corinthians 9, right? Ain't it 1 or 2 Corinthians 9, right? Y'all remember that? He gives seed to who? He says purpose in your heart, right? Purpose in your heart to be a sower, to lift one another's burdens, and I will give you the seed that'll do it. Did y'all hear what I just said? You might think, well, I don't have it, God. That means absolutely nothing. That'll limit you. But God will say, believe me to do it. I want to do it for them. See what I'm talking about? Using your faith and your love is just an energizer to your faith. Kind of like I said last week, faith is kind of like the car that you drive. It's the one that'll get you there. But the love is like the gas that you put in the gas tank that's going to cause the car to go. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say is supposed to be motivated and come from a place of the love of God on the inside of us. Isn't that what Jesus said? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't believe God ever says or does anything out of the love of God. I don't believe Jesus ever said or done anything out of the love of God, right? So he says, bear ye one another's burdens. That means if you need help, I'm looking, God, am I the one to help? I want to help, God, let me help. And then if he says no, well, then you leave that alone and look to somebody else, right? But see, what we do a lot of times is, oh, I love you, sister, I'll be praying for you. Y'all, come on. I'll be praying for you. See, if I'm going to do this, that means I got to get out my house shoes. Y'all remember what I said about Scotty? The Lord said, hey, go fishing. And I'm like, oh, but it's so comfortable in these house shoes of Scotty's. You know, I could just, but I've been praying. See, what we like to do a lot of times, oh, God, use me. Here am I, Lord. I'm like Isaiah, send me. And then the first time he says, okay, I want you to do, oh, God, that's not what I want to do. We can't do that. And see, if we really let the love of God be in us and come out of us to others, it will excite you and give you joy to do it. But he says, so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the next one I want to go to right quick? 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, he's not saying we've not been walking in the love of God with one another. We know we have, and he does too. But the Bible talks about that we would experience the love of God, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of it. And there ain't one of us in this room that has experienced that to its full level, right? He says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He, therefore, that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of who? God. Now, does that mean you ain't going to need a preacher? Absolutely not. What that means is kind of like this. Last night it was a little chilly, you know. Well, I go in the bathroom to use the bathroom, and I'm fixing to walk out, and I know Scotty's going to take a bath here soon or shower here soon. And I just had this thought, plug that heater up for him. So I just went over there, and I plugged the heater up. He's going to teach you. Did you get that? See, I'm not consciously thinking, I got to walk in love. I got to walk in. You don't got to do that. Just be willing in your heart, and he will teach you how to do this. Because everybody in every circumstance may be different in a different way. Maybe Johnny don't want the heater plugged up, you know. I don't know. But Scotty likes the heater plugged up. But he says there, he says, God is going to teach you, yourselves are taught of God, to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, what? That you increase. So he's saying, you've been doing it. That's good. He says, been increased, right? He says, more and more. Was that all on that one, Beth? Oh, another one. He says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. Now, we went over this one last week. We got to get that one. Because, see, the more people we get in here, the more you can talk about one another. But the Bible says, be careful when you bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed. It's a trap of the devil. Ain't nobody in here, none of my business. If I really got a problem, I should be praying for you. I mean, if I really think something's wrong with you or you got a problem, I should be praying for you like I would want you to pray for me, right? He says, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now, let me see where I'm at on this. Okay, John 15, I think it is, Beth. All right, this is what we just started getting into last week. He says, when you bear, now we know the scripture's up above this, I can't read them for time's sake, but he's talking about bearing fruit and getting pruned and bearing more fruit and all that, and we're going to pick it up here in verse 8. He says, when you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. He says, I have loved you. How? Just as the Father has loved me. Right? Jesus said, I love you, Johnny, just like the Father's loved me. I love you, Teresa, just like the Father has loved me. Notice what he says. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. He says, if you keep my commandments, what's his commandment? To love the brethren just as Jesus has loved us, right? You don't got to be concerned about nothing else, because if you do this right here, what he's talking about, your faith's going to work right. You're going to have the joy of the Lord. You're going to walk in the peace of God. You're going to be gentle, right? You're going to be long-suffering. So love is kind of like the curtain rod that everything else hangs off of. But if you don't get the love right, everything else is not going to work right. He says, continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments. He was keeping the commandment, right? He was walking in it. He was loving them disciples that he was with just as the Father had loved him. Amen? And he goes on and he says, have obeyed my Father's commandments, notice, and live on in his love. He says, I have told you these things. Why? That my joy and delight may be in you, in me. And that your joy and gladness may be what? A full measure, glory to God. He says, and complete and overflowing. Now notice what he says. He says, if you keep my commandment, if you keep on loving the brethren as I have loved you, it's going to make you sad, but blessing's going to come to somebody else. Is that what he said? That's exactly what the devil says, and that's exactly what the flesh has lied to us. It's going to take mind renewal, because this is not so. If we really do this, how many know Jesus' words is true? They're always true. And he says there, he says that my joy, he said, I've told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Go ahead, Beth. That was all of it. Now, y'all remember the story whenever there was two brownies in the cabinet, Scotty said, and God spoke to him, you know, love Teresa as I have loved, as Christ loves the church. Y'all remember the first thing, the first thought he had? I can't do that. She'll take advantage of me. She'll walk all over me. Lie. That's not what that said, is it? You can't take advantage of the love of God. You cannot. Why? Because it's long-suffering. It just keeps on giving, and it's glad to give. That's why the Apostle Paul, he's walking in this love. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent for your sake. And he said, it seems to me like the more I love you, the less you love me. But did that stop him from loving them and giving? Absolutely not. He said, I do it gladly. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. How did he have that joy? Because he's keeping that commandment. He's loving the people, right? He's loving people just as the Father has loved him. And that made him sad? No. It gave him joy. And when me and you really walk in the love of God and love the brethren as he has loved us, it's going to give us joy. It gave me great joy to turn that heater on. here a while back, when I first started experiencing this, usually I sleep on the couch because of problems that I have anyway. And so Scotty is usually the only one that sleeps in there in that bed, you know, so who cares if it gets clean sheets? I do. God does. Love does. So anyway, it's kind of got the sheets washed, you know, and it's kind of late at night and everything. My flesh, I'm tired, and this is Saturday, and I usually don't work on Saturday, but I've been kind of busy all day, you know, because during the week I got behind or whatever. Well, I had this thought, I need to get them sheets on that bed. My next thought was, oh gosh, I'm tired. I can wait till Monday, can't it, Lord? You know, but then on the inside of me, I had this, just go put the sheets on. So I get the sheets and I go in there and I take the old ones off. And as I begin to put the new ones, I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord right down in here started bubbling up. And I mean, I'm putting sheets on a bed and I am laughing. And I told the Lord, I said, God, this is awesome. I said, who would have known you could get such joy and pleasure out of putting sheets on a bed? Why? Because I'm doing it out of the love of God. And I'm keeping the commandment, and it's causing my joy, His joy in me, and my joy to overflow. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the devil and the church sometimes have lied to us and says, if you really do this, people's going to take advantage of you. And then other people, that's kind of like Scotty, you know, Travis gets pretty upset with him. And I have before at times, you know, but a lot of times Travis will get upset with him because, you know, he lives this to a degree, but we're all going to be going higher or whatever. You know, and he'll let people borrow stuff, you know, and they tear it up, or they do this or another, or they borrow money and they don't pay it back, or yada yada, different stuff, you know, over the years. And Travis, sometimes it'll like set him on fire, and he's like, Dad, I would not do that. I tell you right now, when I take this business, and I have to. I'm not just trying to talk about Travis. But you know what he says? But son, I want to do it. I'm glad to do it. Makes me feel good to do it. Where we're like, blah, 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 blah. Why? Because how it looks. But the thing about it, he's getting great joy and great pleasure out of it, where our mind may need a little bit more renewing. And if we would do more of it, then we would experience the same joy he's experiencing, right? Now, let's go to get into what I really want to get into today. That was just kind of a recap. So this is not a request, is it? It's not try to do it. Do it if you can. He would never ask us to do anything we couldn't do. Let's look here at John chapter 12. We're going to start, instead of just talking about we're supposed to do it, we're going to start talking about how we do it. So here in John chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 24. How do I get that? I don't know how I want that. I'm going to amplify it on that as how I'm going to read that. Verse 24. This is Jesus talking again. It says, and Jesus answered them. No, I'm sorry. Verse 24. He says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, that means give up yourself, right? Don't think about yourself, right? Let flesh die. He says, it remains just as one grain. He says, it never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it. But anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever. What's that mean? He's not talking about laying your life down for God, right? He's talking about how we lay our lives down for the brethren. Kind of like I said last week, you know, somebody's moving or the brethren's moving or something other, and they ask you to help them or whatever, and you've got the means to help them, and I'll say, well, I'll pray for you, you know, or okay, but then go home and tell you, well, I tell you right now, I don't know why I got to be the one to do this. You're losing your reward. You're keeping this life. You're losing the joyful life that He has for us. See, the more selfish, let me read you this. I wrote this down. The selfish life is the most miserable life you can ever live. this is one of the reasons why people commit suicide when they make it to the top. Because, see, before they get there, they can tell themselves, when I get to this place, y'all come on now, when I get this amount of money, or I get this house, or I get this fortune, or I get this fame, or I get this status, I'm going to be happy when my husband just treats me like I want him to. I'll be happy. No, you won't. You'll be miserable. And you'll be like the horse leech with the $2 that says, give me, give me, give me. Flesh is never satisfied. It wants more and more and more and more. But the giving life is the best, most fulfilling life you can ever have. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. See, in the love of God, there is no selfishness. And we have opportunities every day with our spouses if we're married. People at Walmart, people at Dollar General. I just let a guy the other day, a man behind me, you know, I mean, I ain't got a whole lot of stuff, but anyway, I'm done there in line, and he walks up behind me, and all of a sudden, I have this thought, let him go ahead of you. And so I just turned around, I said, go ahead. He said, oh, no. I said, yeah, go ahead. I said, I'm not in a hurry. It don't matter if I am. Lose my life, and I'll gain it. Live to give. You better hear what I'm telling you. Live to give. Ain't that why Jesus lived? Ain't that why he even came? Was to give his life in exchange for mine and yours? And it gave him great joy, the Bible says, when he's on the cross. For the things that were set before him, he got joy, right? Why? He didn't think about himself. He thought about what it was going to bring to me and you for him to lay down his physical life. But a lot of times we don't have to lay down our physical life. We have to lay down our selfishness. What I want, what I desire. Oh, my goodness. See, if a husband and wife does this with each other, there will be no divorce. Cannot be. That's why the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want a love feast in here. I made y'all some cupcakes this morning. The Bible says, provoke one another to love and good works. What y'all going to do? Nope, nope, nope. What'd I say? Let me read that again. The selfish life is what? Remember the Bible? Oh, and I told y'all wrong. Remember a week or two ago I said the scripture below that, not forsaking yourselves, as the manner of some has, says provoking one another. It's the one above it, so I'm sorry. No wonder y'all kept telling me the one below it. But it's the one above it. It says provoking one another to love and good works. So I went and got the kids yesterday. I said, come on, we're going to make some cupcakes. I need some good bakers. That's not me, I can tell y'all. But the love of God in me, the love of God in you, it provokes you, it prompts you to do good, to bring blessing. The Bible says we're to give so that blessing may come to others. But see, if you use that scripture, give and it shall be given, good measure pressed down, shaken together. We can quote it, right? We got it. But if your motivation is not to bring blessing to somebody else, it's selfish, you're not going to reap the full reward off of that scripture. Why? It's promoted in selfishness. Woo, we're getting quieter and quieter. Let's go on here. We did the whole John 4:24, didn't we? Through 26? Yeah, we did. So the selfish life is the most miserable life that you can live. But the giving life, the one you just live to give to the brethren. You just live to give to your husband. You just lived. The other Wednesday night, Scotty had, now a lot of times on Wednesday night I don't cook supper, you know. Scotty wants me to take a nap, so I got to get over on the couch, whether I'm asleep or awake. But anyway, so I'm over there. So I don't have a lot of time to be getting up 4:30 and fixing supper before we have to get ready to come. So anyway, he had eaten him a salad, and I didn't eat anything. So after church, I went in there. I like jalapeno poppers. I like pizza. I like cheese. All that junky stuff I really like. Quit smiling, Johnny. It tells me you do too. Anyway, all that junky stuff I like, so there was like 5 jalapeno poppers in there. So I thought, okay, I'm going to eat that for supper. So I go in there, you know, and I pop them in the little oven thingy, you know, and I get them out. And I have this thought, Scotty might want one. And then I thought, he's ate his supper and this is my supper, so who really cares? I'm just telling you. You know, you don't got to act on the thought that comes in your brain. If it ain't the right one, you kick it out, right? You cast it down. And I thought, nope. I'm going to ask him, do you want some? So I go in there, you know, and I put the plate over there. And I said, now he didn't know this. I said, here, I said, you want a jalapeno popper? And he's going, I might eat one of them. And he gets the biggest one up there. And that's fine. He only got one of them, you know. And so I turn around and I go sit down. Made me feel good. Made me feel so good. See what I'm talking about? If we will live this way, but we're going to have to renew our mind if we're going to live this way. Because our mind, a lot of times, if it's not been renewed, we've still got a lot of selfishness left. And when we have these thoughts of doing good and blessing, so giving so blessing will come to somebody else, a lot of times our flesh, we're just so in that, we just, cast it right out. Like I said, he ate his supper, this is my supper, who cares? And you go and you sit down and you get more selfish than what you was before. And you eat your jalapenos and you enjoy them, but at the same time, you're just miserable. Why? Because you'd like to have even more jalapenos. But if you give them to him, it makes you feel good, and the next time you're like, here, get you another one. Why? You're living. Scotty did a message one time called Live From Within. That's how we need to live. God's in here. He's not out here. He's in here. The Bible says the kingdom is within us. And if we will live from in here, we will live to give. That's exactly what Jesus done. I got to hurry up or we ain't going to get to where I'm wanting to go today. All right, let's see here. Romans 12. Now we're going to talk about how do we do this command. And we talked about it a little bit, but we're going to get into some scripture. Instead of just my jalapeno popper stories. We need scriptures, right? I need to get to Romans here. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I told you I made y'all some, not all of y'all now. I'm talking about kids. Some, Johnny, was you supposed to make everybody else cupcakes this morning? Oh, I forgot now what I was going to say. You got me off track there. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Samantha brought me a shirt this morning. You know, I told y'all I've watched that movie. Well, I've watched it again. So I've watched that movie. Now, sometimes it was only like 15 or 20 minutes, so it ain't like I've watched the entire movie 19 times. And one of the things, the Holy Ghost was on me with that, showing me things when the first, because I had to believe God for them glasses. But anyway, now I have watched it 19 times. So Samantha, this morning, she brings me this shirt. And y'all that don't know the movie, you won't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it says, Talk to Me Goose. Y'all that's seen the movie, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, he's in the jet, and his partner had got killed in the movie before when he got ejected. He had got killed, and his call sign was Goose. And he was in the back seat. And so when he would be, the new movie, when he's in the jet or whatever, and he's trying to figure out what to do and all that, he says, Talk to me, Goose. So that's what the shirt is. It says, Talk to me, Goose. She brought me that shirt this morning. Thank you. See what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not just talking about bringing each other things, but I'm talking about when we let the love of God in here. God is love. He's in here. And when he's in here, you need a miracle. He is your miracle, right? You need finances. He is your finances. You need healing. He is healing. Everything that we need, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, everything is in him, and they're all operated by him. And when we start walking in the love of God that he's talking about, it's like a love feast in here. We are just living to outgive one another. At all times. And we just gives us such joy at all times when we do it. So thank you for my shirt. What are y'all laughing about? Okay. Romans 12. Time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read this and then I'll read it in the Amplified, I think. King James first. He says, let love, talking about the love of God, be without dissimulation. That means be without hypocrisy. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified. He says, let your love be sincere. And I told you that dissension, or what, dissimulation means hypocrisy. A real thing. He says, hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in heart from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. But notice what he said in the King James. He said, preferring one another. That word dissimulation, it means hypocrisy. Y'all remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira, right? Most people do that's been in church any time at all. Why y'all think that happened to them? Y'all remember what was going on, right? They was having a love feast. The disciples did not tell, or the apostles did not tell them, y'all go sell everything that you have extra and bring it over here and let us distribute it. They just started doing that. They got born again and had such love of God on the inside of them to where every one of them in their assembly went and sold all the extra that they had, and they brought it and they gave it to the apostles and said, here it is, distribute it as whoever has need. And didn't say, if they're worthy. Gotta be careful about that. It ain't about who you think is worthy. It's the brethren, right? Well, the thing about Ananias and Sapphira was they wasn't loving like everybody else was loving, but they wanted to pretend like they was. How do I know that? Because the Bible says they went and sold it, and the money that they promised, they didn't bring all of what they promised. They kept back selfishness. They kept back some of it. And Peter told him, he said, wasn't this yours to do with what you wanted to do with it before you sold it and said you was going to bring the money? You didn't have to. Nobody made you do it, but your hypocrisy is what made you do this. And what happened to him? Boom! He fell dead. Wife comes in a little bit later. Did you sell this? And she had opportunity to turn, right? She could have turned. Said, did you sell this for so-and-so and so-and-so? Oh, yeah, we just love the brother, and I'm telling you, we just wanted to do it, just give. Boom! Here they come in, and they tote her out the door, too. See what I'm talking about? When you get the love of God going, and God is in such manifestation, there cannot be any hypocrisy in this. It should be a true thing in our hearts. We do what we do because we love one another. But notice what he says there. He says, preferring one another. You better write this down because this is the first way you start doing this. I'm going to read you that word, preferring, what it means. In the Strong's Concordance in the Greek, it says, to lead the way for others. More study into this. It means you take the lead in preferring others over yourself. Now, when I go out to eat with people, especially if I invited you. I'm going to pay for it if I invited you, unless you beat me to it. That's like me and my mom and my sister, you know, and different ones we go out to eat with at different times or whatever, you know. They get upset with me sometimes because usually right as I see they're about to finish eating, I try to sneak the check and I get up and I go pay for they get done. Now, if some of them, mama catches me or whatever, she'll try to grab it and argue with me, yada, yada, anyway. Why? I'm taking the lead, Sandy. That's what that means. It says, you take the lead. Well, I've been sitting there before, you know, you're out to eat with a bunch of people, whatever, and it gets time to pay, you know, and this is what they start doing. I don't know, I can't find my bill, foe. I don't know where it went. And I'm just digging in the bottom of, and you know, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You're trying to act like you would do it, but you're a liar. And you want to act like you would do it, but you would not. You ain't hiding nothing from God. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't start digging in your purse and say, oh, I forgot, left my wallet at home and all that. Just don't do nothing. But don't have that hypocrisy. That stuff is a killer to the love of God. It's false. It's a lie. It's of the devil. Scotty, usually, you know, he'll rent the building for his family's Christmas or whatever, you know, and different things. We do different things for people, and people do stuff for us, you know. I'm not trying to say we do it all or whatever. Anyway, we're over one day, and somebody comes up to me, and Lester, they say, Well, I was going to give Scotty some money on this, you know, of what thing we had done. I was going to give him some money on this, you know, but I thought about it, you know, and y'all really got so much money, y'all didn't even need it. Liar! Hypocrisy. Trying to act like, oh, I want to do it. Well, bless God, just pull your billfold up. What's it matter how much money I got? What's that matter? You don't know how much money I got or how much I don't got. That could have been my last time to do the good thing that we did. You don't know. Now you're presuming, which is sin. But if you really wanted to do it, buddy, whoop your wallet out. It's okay. I got money, but I can get some more. If you really wanted to do some, give it here. But no. Y'all got so much money, you know, I know y'all didn't need it. Irritated me. But I just looked at him. I said, well, I reckon that's what you're supposed to do with it, spend it on people. Oh, yeah, it is. And out the door they went. But you will never be where I am. You will never go, not because of me, but because of that right there. Do you all get what I'm saying, what God's trying to say about this? That is absolute hypocrisy. You want to act like you're loving the brethren. You want to act like you want to give something. You want to act like it. But in truth, you are so full of yourself. Because if you really wanted to do it, you would do it. And if you don't want it, why even say anything? Nobody asked you for nothing. Why even say anything? Because you want to look to other people like something that in your heart you're really not. And when you do that crap, it'll keep you from going to a higher, it'll actually demote you. Why? You are walking in the very nature of the devil. He is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. And that ain't nothing but a lie when you act like you want to do something, but in your heart you really don't want to do it. If you really don't want to do it and you're not going to change your heart, just don't say nothing. You'd be better off. I just got a couple minutes here. So he says, take the lead. What's that mean? That means we go out and eat. I'm going to take the lead. I'm going to grab that check up and I'm going to go do it. Right? That means if you got a burden or whatever, I'm going to take the lead. I'm not going to wait on anybody else to do it. That means kind of like this. Let me get this. I got to get this right here in here so we can see this good. What that means is kind of like this. Johnny, which I already know the answer, do you prefer Coke or Sprite? Coke. What's that mean? Sprite didn't get picked. Right? You know? Do you prefer water or juice, Monty? Water. What's that mean? Juice did not get picked. Water did. You preferred water. You preferred Coke. Chicken or turkey, Sandy? Which one do you prefer? Chicken. What's that mean? Turkey did not get picked. Me or Stacy? Which one do I prefer? Stacy. What's that mean? I didn't get picked. Hello, did y'all get that? That's how that is. You are to prefer somebody above, the brethren above yourself. Now see, this is going to take mind renewal to do this in a right heart and a right spirit. But I'm telling you, every time you do, the devil will tell you you're going to lose. You're going to do without. No, you won't. Why? God, that is His love, and He will make sure that you are taken care of, right? He said, give and it shall be given. Who's going to do it? God's going to make sure it comes to you, right? So if it comes down to me and Stacy and I got to pick one, I'm going to pick her. Why? Because I'm going to prefer my brethren over me, and it's going to give me great joy and pleasure to do so. And I don't got time to go to our next, I ain't got time for it. Anyway, it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 24. And that's the one where he says, quit talking about it. Quit telling the brethren how much you love them. He says, love in truth and in deed. What's that mean? Love with what you do. Quit talking about it. Do something about it. The world say, put your money where your mouth is, right? Well, put your actions where you say your heart is. Put my actions where I say that my heart is. Love the brethren like Christ loved us, right? And it's going to be the most blessed life. And I'm telling you, I absolutely believe that this love of God is going to usher in the last day move of God before we are out of here and grow us up to that glorious church. Because there's nothing else that there is that can do it right. God is love. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or comments or anything before we close? All right.